and God bless you all.
Of Allah. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. Stay tuned.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English. This is Viewpoints. Here in the studio today, we have with us Sayyid Mahdi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Yeah. And Sheikh Ali. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So, the world has changed, and it's not going to change back again after the shahadat of General Qasim Soleimani. And that's what we're going to be discussing today, particularly about the international coverage of the funeral. And I'd like to take Sayyid Mehdi's viewpoint into consideration as we begin the discussion. So what are your immediate reactions to the kind of the international coverage of the funeral?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I think there's two aspects here to the international coverage, right? One is the international, assuming you're talking about media coverage.
Right, yeah.
The international media coverage as regards to the West and the censorship and, of course, the misinformation and misguidance which was being done and is still being done on a very large scale. Is one side of the story, but the other side of the story is the international media coverage that was done by sources who are not subjugated or who are not the servants of the Western agenda. So, you know, and I guess in the eastern part of the world, you saw that there was a lot of media coverage on this assassination, on this martyrdom of Haj Qasim Soleimani. What was interesting was that the mourning that was conducted for Shahid Qasim Soleimani was really something that was unseen for a long time.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything like that.
I think that the closest thing that would come would be the funeral of Imam Khomeini.
Right, I've seen people making that comparison between this and the funeral of Imam Khomeini. Am I mistaken to say that that was the biggest funeral in history?
Well, if you look at the history and history of Iran, especially, Imam Khomeini's funeral was so big and so huge and so populated that nobody could even come close to that sort of a funeral after Imam Khomeini passed away. The world, and especially Iran, has seen after all these years, after like 30 plus years, the biggest funeral after that of Imam Khomeini's, and that was General Qasim Soleimani, who was not the Wali of Faqih, of course. He was not, you know, somebody who went to the Hawza, for instance, and was a very senior Islamic scholar. He was just a general, right? But there was something special about him that it pulled the hearts towards the streets, and people came out mourning and expressing their anger more importantly, against America.
Yeah, I mean, considering that the population of Iran has pretty much doubled since the time of Imam Khomeini, people are even saying that this funeral, in terms of numbers, was even bigger.
Probably, yeah. I wouldn't refute that. Mm-hmm. I don't have the statistics, but I would say that that's pretty precise. Streets were filled, even like huge roads, like five lanes, where normally the cars would drive in parallel. They were packed, jam-packed for kilometers. And this is not just one city. It was all over Iran.
Video is that aerial view. I think it's off Tehran, where you can see these people, and they do look like ants. And it just goes on and on.
Yeah.
Sayyid Mahdi actually mentioned that it's like Arba'in. Exactly. All over again. Exactly. It was fascinating.
Yeah, you could feel it. You know, it was people. They wanted to make sure that they expressed themselves that this heinous crime that America had committed, and the sacrifices of a person like General Qasem Soleimani, a person of his stature, a person of his spirituality, a person of his military skills, a person who was a strategic. And at the same time, a very wise person who knows when to make a move, right? He was not just all out in the battlefield, shooting and, fighting. Mm. No, he knew when to make a move. A person of his stature and experience, people wanted to make sure that they give and send out a very clear message to the entire world. Mm-hmm. Let it be the world governments or, just the average people. That he was loved in Iran. He was loved not just in Iran, even beyond Iran's borders, and we're going to talk further about it, how other countries and cities played into it.
Another interesting thing, though, what you find here is you see, again, as Sheikh Ali was saying, that millions really mourned for this individual, for this great personality of Islam. For example, we saw specifically in the city of Qom, we saw that it wasn't just Iranians who came out to mourn him, but it was people from all nations. I mean, you saw people from Pakistan, Afghanistan, you saw Iraqis, right, from Bangladesh. I mean, you name it.
Chinese were there.
Chinese people were there. Westerners were there.
Yeah. So black brothers, white brothers.
It was very amazing to witness this.
Myself.
This international mourning for an individual. And to be honest with you, I think that perhaps in Qasem Soleimani's own mind, he probably didn't imagine that this international level of humanity will come to mourn him.
Subhanallah.
Right?
Yeah.
I can just chime in. People like him, they're not really concerned.
They're not.
To them, it doesn't matter because they're so godly people. Their focus is God only.
Right.
And this is where we have traditions, Islamic traditions, which say that if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah plants your love in the hearts of people. and this is exactly what we witnessed.
Right.
These people, they didn't even know his language, many of them.
Yeah.
If you look at other countries, how they protested, candlelight vigils. I know it happened in Canada. It happened in UK. Multiple cities of U.S. and Australia, Germany. It was a very weird phenomena, and I think we never expected it.
No, it was very surreal, right?
When we went
to see this, it was really surreal because it was men, there was women, there was children, there was old people. I mean, it was amazing. People brought their... I personally saw a family who had brought a newborn. Right? I mean, the kid must have not... It was a baby, not more than 6 months old, right?
Yeah.
They brought them, and they came in the millions. And not just the people. If you look, all political factions came from all across the political scenario. Again, various nations. And even when you look at, for example, international personalities that gave their condolences, for example, you have Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, of Hezbollah in Lebanon, Haji Qasem Soleimani, he was very close to Sayyid Nasrullah, and you can see in some of the speeches of Sayyid Nasrullah that he was really hurt. He was saddened by this. Just as the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Sayyid Ali Khamenei, if you're able to access the video of him leading the funeral rites, the prayer of Qasem Soleimani, you'll see that he's crying, right? It was amazing. You saw that all these people cried for this great personality.
Okay, now we know that it was definitely surreal, and I like that word because I remember it was feeling like a dream. It was strange. It was like, whoa, is this really happening? Could there possibly be this many people? When I was upset on the morning that I found out, and you go out into the streets and you see people crying on the streets in groups.
And they're wearing black.
And they're wearing black, and, you know, some they weren't.
It's very symbolic in Iran, right? I mean, when you wear black, it's like.
Okay, so now the enemy, on the other hand, because we're talking about the coverage, right, the international coverage. Would you say, in your opinion, that considering the magnitude of this event as it occurred, did the mainstream media give it due justice or not?
Well, that's for sure, and it's not just us here who are realizing that. I'm in touch with many activists from throughout the world, from the East and from the West. The mainstream media, of course, they did a huge injustice by misrepresenting who General Qasem Soleimani was. Uh-huh. They had a very strict agenda of making sure that they bring a bad name and bad coverage to Iran and the Islamic Revolution and the system of Wilayatul Faqih. And, you know, they're the enemies, so what do you expect? At the same time, one, at least in the past, used to have hope when it came to social media. That, okay, it had some sort of a liberty where you can go to, like, maybe an extra step where you can get the truth and justice and the word of Haq and truth out there. But unfortunately, this particular event, I've noticed very closely that the social media even, they made sure that they suppress any voice of support of General Qasem Soleimani, any right. voice of support for Iran, for the Islamic resistance, or even the resistance forces and the factions around the globe.
Right.
Right? So they went as far as that if you were to post a picture of Qasem Soleimani, this great martyr, this shaheed, who actually fought ISIS, who fought terrorism in this region, they would delete your profile. This is how far they went.
So much
for freedom of speech and expression, right?
Right.
You're not allowed to express your own sentiments.
Mint Press News actually reported that Silicon Valley giant Facebook announced that it would be deleting all positive posts about assassinated Iranian general.
Up until that point, they were unofficially doing that. You know, they were just doing it from their back room. But then it got to a level that it just got out of control.
Yeah.
The people, the general masses, average social media users, and if you are on social media, you would say, like, people have changed their display pictures on their WhatsApp.
Yeah.
People who are not even Iranians.
If you haven't done it, you should do it.
Right? Now, this all of it was actually getting out of control, so it pushed them so far back that they had to come out clean, and they said, okay, we're going to put the foot down because social media is what we own. We're going to make sure that anybody who puts out... So it's basically a threat to the general masses.
Right.
That if you put a picture of General Qasem Soleimani, even if it's a picture where he's smiling, we're not talking about guns and we're not talking about all that.
Yeah.
They said that we're going to delete it. So they are actually threatening people. And they ended up deleting the profiles.
I mean,
and countless profiles, not just people who are Shias or Sunnis or Muslims, even the non-Muslims who were voicing their support for General Qasem Soleimani and against America, the injustice that America has done, the oppression that it is continuing to do, they're deleting their profiles.
I think what an interesting point here, for example, is that for people who believe that the media is free and open in the West, I think this is a very clear signal to everyone that without a doubt, there is no liberty of speech in the West. There is no free media in the West. Even, you know, as Sheikh Ali said, that we thought that social media platforms would give you an amount of freedom. By these recent actions, we have seen, no, that truly even these social media platforms and the news is in the control of certain factions who don't want the truth to come out for the people.
Yeah, I mean, we also, I just wanted to point out that, let's take this in a positive spin. These guys are actually threatened by
us.
Well,
that's what I was going to say. It used to be like that, as Sayyid Matthew mentioned. You know, there was a certain level of extended freedom, you know, for people to express their views, and that was the primary philosophy behind social media, that you contribute.
And popularity.
You get to say you have a say. You get to express yourself, right?
YouTube.
However you want to, right? Mm. But they're actually tightening it up. And you know what the reason is? The reason is they have lost the battle.
Right.
They thought that they're going to be able to give this perceived freedom to the people. Uh-huh. And as a result of this, people are going to be like, oh, wow, West is so open about everything. Well, guess what? People started to speak their mind, and now all of these social media platforms, the mainstream ones owned by CIA or, you know, the Western Zionist media empire, they're threatened now that they can't face this flood of people online. They can't fight back. So what do? They just, you know, silence them by deleting their profiles and pages.
Right. And yet, despite all of this, I'd just like to point out, they have not been able to suppress the spirit of the people.
Right. And this is where, if you notice, you know, throughout the world right now, after the martyrdom of General Qasem Soleimani, the profile pictures tell you, everybody is saying, we are Soleimani. I am Soleimani. I am able to and ready to retaliate against America's oppression, the Zionist regime, the Wahhabi Takfiri agenda in the region. You know, people are expressing these views through their just profile pictures. You know, words. You go look at their status even on WhatsApp, right, or other social media platform. You would get this very loud and clear message that we are Soleimani. And when it comes to, you know, a replacement for General Qasem Soleimani, do you know what Allah had saved in his treasures to replace him? It's General Ka'ani. General Ka'ani is who replaced General Qasem Soleimani. Although it's a huge blow that we took, and the camp of resistance has taken, and especially the leader of the Muslim Ummah with the loss of General Qasem Soleimani. But General Ka'ani, he is a mastermind. He was behind, you know, chalking out this whole plan to destroy ISIS.
And I'd love to talk about that more, and I'm really excited. I want to know more about General Ka'ani because I don't know much about him. I don't even know if I pronounce his name right. Ka'ani. But that's all we have time for today. We hope that you enjoyed and benefited from today's show, inshallah. If you have any questions or queries, or you want to see any of our other content, you can visit pasttoday.com. And we'll see you next time, inshallah. From myself, Sayyid Mahdi, and from Sheikh Ali, we bid you assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please, don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.com. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is the teacher. A radio documentary on the life of prominent martyrs of Islam.
حاج قاسم صد بار در معرض شهادت قرار گرفته بود در راه خدا در راه انجام وظیفه در راه
حاج قاسم had been exposed to martyrdom repeatedly but in performing his duty and fighting for the cause
خدا اینو میخوام که خدا هر چه سعی در منو به اون ملحق بکنه و به او اگه بنویسم این رو خواهم
I ask Allah wholeheartedly to give me the chance of martyrdom and let me join my dear martyred friends.
Tears were shed from the eyes of all of the freedom-seeking people, not only in Iran, but across the globe. Muslims, whether Shia or Sunni, in Iran, Iraq.
Today's a special story, the life and character of Shahid General Haj Qasem Soleimani. Dear listeners, one of the most influential individuals who has ever lived on Earth and has played a major role in bringing peace to West Asia is, without a doubt, the great General Haj Qasem Soleimani. General Shahid Qasem Soleimani was born on March 11, 1957, in a village near the city of Kerman. When he turned 18, he was employed in the water administration of Kerman. During the Islamic Revolution of Iran, he became familiar with a cleric from Mashhad by the name of Reza Kamyab, and this is how he began his revolutionary activities. His brother Sohrab Soleimani has said that he was one of the main organizers of rallies and strikes in Kerman at the time of the revolution. After the victory of the Islamic Revolution of Iran, Shahid Haj Qasem Soleimani became a member of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, aka the IRGC, about the same time that the Iran-Iraq War erupted. General Shahid Haj Qasem Soleimani trained several battalions in Kerman and sent them to the war fronts. Shahid Qasem Soleimani also was the head of the IRGC in West Azerbaijan province for some time. And now, Ayatollah Khamenei talks about the personality of Shahid Qasem Soleimani.
حاج قاسم صد بار در معرض شهادت قرار گرفته بود.
حاج قاسم had been exposed to martyrdom repeatedly, but in performing his duty and fighting for the cause of Allah, he had no fear of anyone or anything.
جهادش جهاد بزرگی بود. خدای متعال شهادت او را هم شهادت بزرگی قرار داد.
His struggle was a great struggle, and God made his martyrdom a great martyrdom. This was a significant blessing for Haji Qasim, who was deserving of such a glorious martyrdom. Haj Qasim had to be martyred in such a manner.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program, The Teacher. Shahid General Qasim Soleimani, who was the commander of the Quds Force of the IRGC before his martyrdom, played a crucial role during the Iranian sacred defense. In the year 1360 in the Iranian calendar, Mohsen Rezai, who was the then commander of the IRGC, appointed him as the commander of Division 41 of Tharallah. At that time, Shahid Soleimani was only 23 years old. Therefore, some individuals were against such an appointment. Nevertheless, Haj Qasim Soleimani was one of the brave commanders during the Wal Fajr 8, Karbala 4, and Karbala 5 military operations. The Karbala 5 operation was one of the most important military operations of Iran during the Iran-Iraq War that brought about the instability of the political and military status of the Iraqi army of Saddam and stabilized the situation in favor of the Iranian forces. Before Shahid General Haj Qasim Soleimani became the commander of the IRGC's Quds Force, he would confront the drug smugglers of Iran-Afghanistan borders. Ultimately, Shahid Soleimani was appointed as the commander of the Quds Force by Ayatollah Khamenei in 1997. This was a new page in the history of the resistance movement. This is the voice of Shahid Qasim Soleimani, along with the English translation of his words.
I ask Allah wholeheartedly to give me the chance of martyrdom and let me join my dear martyred friends. If I've got the chance to write to Allah, the first thing I request is the blessing of martyrdom and shahada.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program, The Teacher. Dear listeners, the great, legendary Iranian IRGC commander of the Quds Force, Shahid Qasem Soleimani, who is better known among his supporters as Haj Qasem Soleimani, played a crucial role in maintaining stability in West Asia and fighting the Western Zionist and Saudi-backed Takfiri terrorists such as ISIS and al-Nusra in Iraq and Syria. Of course, the scope of the activities of the Quds Force under the leadership of Shahid Qasem Soleimani was not limited to these countries. In fact, the Quds Force, which is actually a unit in the IRGC that specializes in unconventional warfare and military intelligence operations, has exerted a great deal of influence all over the world since the time it was established. More importantly, it laid the foundations for the formation of Hezbollah and other jihadi resistance organizations such as the ones in Palestine, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Pakistan, and Afghanistan, to name a few. Under the leadership of this honorable martyr, Takfiri elements such as Daesh, aka ISIS, and other terrorist organizations were annihilated. General Qasem Soleimani was martyred on January 3, 2020, in Baghdad, Iraq, in a U.S. drone strike. May Allah bless him and further elevate his high ranks. Now we invite you to listen to Sister Zainab talking about Shahid General Qasem Soleimani.
On Friday morning, we woke up with the news of the martyrdom of one of the bravest men of our nation, General Qasem Soleimani, who was martyred in a U.S. drone attack, along with his companion, Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis. General Soleimani was a hero for every Iranian. He was not only the commander of the army of Quds, he was truly the commander of the hearts. Tears were shed from the eyes of all of the freedom-seeking people, not only in Iran, but across the globe. Muslims, whether Shia or Sunni, in Iran, Iraq, Lebanon, Syria, Palestine, Yemen, and basically all over the world of Islam, and even in the Western countries, including the United States, expressed their grief and sorrow for this great loss. But surely, the blood of this martyr will bring together the hearts of the nations, and inshallah, together, we will be able to achieve great victories. The enemies of Islam have always tried to cause disunity and conflict between Islamic countries and Islamic sects. But the blissful blood of General Soleimani and his companions only brought about the unity and closeness of the hearts and nations. A martyr is like the heart of history. With his martyrdom, new blood is pumped into the veins of this heart, and it will go on beating till another martyr is sacrificed in the way of Islam. We all know that, according to the Holy Quran, those slain in the way of Allah remain alive and receive sustenance with their Lord. So surely, General Soleimani is still with us, and his Holy Spirit will come to our aid in our war against oppression and tyranny.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of The Teacher, which was about the great martyr of Islam, Shahid Haj Qasem Soleimani. Please don't forget to log on to our website, which is www.parsetoday.com. And if you have any questions or suggestions, send an email to englishradio@irib.ir. Until next time, we leave you in Allah's care.
In the limelight.
More than 10,000 people in the U.S. died from COVID-19 in the time between when Donald Trump blew up the stimulus bill and when he finally signed it. No, he doesn't care about that. The millions of people desperate for unemployment assistance, along with millions more in peril of eviction, are nowhere on his mind either. What you heard was the words selected from an article under the heading, "Trump is humiliated and more dangerous than ever." The article has been authored by William Rivers Pitt. Stay tuned for more. More than 10,000 people in the U.S. died from COVID-19 in the time between when Donald Trump blew up the stimulus bill and when he finally signed it. No, he doesn't care about that. The millions of people desperate for unemployment assistance, along with millions more in peril of eviction, are nowhere on his mind either. The economic crash that would have come after a simultaneous stimulus bill collapse, an eviction eruption, and a government shutdown in the middle of a pandemic. Not of concern. The terrible disruption in vaccine distribution if the lights went out in the federal government. Whatever. As the tension over Trump's refusal to act reached peak intensity, Republican Senator Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania finally found his voice amid the muted GOP Amen chorus. If Trump fails to sign the dual relief shutdown bill, said Toomey, he will be remembered for chaos and misery and erratic behavior if he allows this to expire. Trump wanted his name in the papers, and that's why this long week of fear and uncertainty was dropped on a nation already coiled in fear and uncertainty. It was an act of sadism, the deliberate infliction of pain on a population already on its knees. Folks need help badly, and instead they got the back of Trump's orange little hand again. For the record, the man had no interest in seeing those direct payments increase to $2,000. This was a demand for another witless act of loyalty by congressional Republicans. Further, it draws a bright red circle around the GOP refusal to disperse more funds directly to the people. This was, of course, deliberate. The pork in the bill Trump denounced was, in fact, a laundry list of items from his 2018 budget proposal, which his administration requested be included in this legislation. Congress did as he requested and added the items to the stimulus, perhaps to guarantee Trump's signature. They forgot who they were dealing with. The cruelty is the point. The Atlantic's Adam Serwer astutely observed in October 2018, back when it was incessantly thought it couldn't get any worse. The Trump era is such a whirlwind of cruelty that it can be hard to keep track, he wrote. Indeed, the latest chapter in this long book of deliberate pain now involves the 14 million people in need of unemployment assistance who were left to dangle and dangle still because of the delayed signing. More than 10,000 people died from COVID-19 in the U.S. in the time between when Donald Trump blew up the stimulus bill and when he finally signed it. Because Trump did not sign the bill on Saturday, reports CNN, those in the pandemic unemployment assistance and the pandemic emergency unemployment compensation programs will likely not receive a payment for the final week of the year. And the $300 federal enhancement may only last 10 weeks instead of 11 weeks for most folks. That's because the states can't provide benefits for weeks that start before programs are authorized, but the legislation calls for the extra payments to end on March 14th. The worst part, Trump stands humiliated. A nonsense signing a statement claiming all sorts of considerations he wrung from Congress before signing is just that, nonsense. He wants them to investigate election fraud, repeal Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, and demands that they strongly consider making those direct payments $2,000. Mitch McConnell, in his own statement thanking Trump for his signature, make no mention of these concessions. That means, for all practical purpose, they do not exist. Trump got taken to the cleaners, reports Politico. What a bizarre, embarrassing episode for the president. He opposed the bill his administration negotiated. He had no discernible strategy and no hand to play, and it showed. He folded and got nothing besides a few days of attention and chaos. People waiting for aid got a few days of frightening uncertainty. This is probably the most fitting coda to Trump's presidency and a neat encapsulation of his relationship with Congress. He never cared to understand the place and was disengaged from his work. They will be laughing, scraping their heads at your genius about this one for a while, Mr. President. Compounding this defeat, the House and Senate have returned to Washington, and their first order of business is an override of Trump's veto of the Defense Authorization Bill. They have the votes, and most congressional Republicans are not willing to mess with military money, even if it means defying Trump.
چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خداست، ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu
This is part of a speech of Imam Khomeini, the founder of Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with clergy and the students of the seminary. If a man had faith in Allah the Exalted, and if he saw Allah the Almighty with the eyes of his heart, as one sees the sin, it would not be possible for him to commit a sin. Just as if he were standing before an armed power, he would find someone impeccability. This fear comes from committing sin. The impeccable, or ma'sumin, peace be with them, after their creation from pure clay, because of the effects of their spiritual discipline and acquisition of radiance and virtuous character traits, always see themselves as being in the presence of Allah, who knows all things and encompasses all affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we are with another episode of Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini, and I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Today we are with another saying of Imam Khomeini, in which he said that one may conceal a thing from all mortal eyes, but everything about us is preserved with God, and he returns the result of our deeds to us. Obviously, this saying is very clear, and Imam Khomeini is talking about the hereafter. And he says, remember that we might conceal something from these mortal eyes, from the eyes of people. I might do something in hidden. I might hide things, my actions, when I'm alone. But remember that everything is in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the chapter 2, verse number 284, Allah says, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. For Allah is whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. When it is said like whatever is in the heavens, it means everything in the sky is in the heavens. The angels, maybe like the skies, the other creations that are living in the skies or heavens, وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, and whatever is in the earth.
يَا حَيُّ يَا قَيُّمُ يَا حَيُّ يَا قَيُّمُ يَا حَيُّ يَا قَيُّمُ يَا حَيُّ يَا قَيُّمُ.
Humans are on the earth, the animals are there, the nature is there. So whatever is there, it's for Allah, lillah, for Allah. وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ, and whatever you hide in yourselves, and whatever you have in yourselves, whatever you show from yourselves, or whatever you hide, يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ, Allah will account you for all of that that you do in the hidden, or whenever it is apparent. Then obviously we need to be careful, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Thank you.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is
for a better life.
For a better life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, I have been sent to complete noble manners.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome once again to another program of For a Better Life. We were talking about business ethics according to the Islamic perspective. And a human being is a creation of a God, a citizen of this earth, surviving by wisely using its natural resources. And the cooperation of fellow human beings is very important here. Human interaction may be pictured as following. As a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a human being is expected to obey the divine commandments in relation to the self, to fellow human beings, and also towards the earth, our environment. We cannot forget the satanic temptations or the carnal soul that overwhelm many of us. This three-way interaction defines the criteria of Islamic ethics in the business sphere. The guiding principles in these interactions are, number one, obeying the divine commandments. Number two, dealing with others on the basis of justice and fairness, عدل وقسط وإنصاف. O you who believe, be upright for the sake of Allah in testifying for fairness, and do not let the hatred of a people urge you to be unjust. Be just, since that is closer to piety. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very Allah is aware of what you do. Chapter 5, verse 8. Being moderate is the third aspect to it. Being moderate in one's personal life, having harmony in one's personal life, and in the use of natural resources. One day, all these natural resources will be depleted. Wouldn't it be better for us to reach out and develop the technology that actually exists out there, but we're not using it, we do not have the political will to use renewable energy, sustainable energy like wind energy, solar energy, ocean and wave energy, geothermal energy, and so on and so forth. Why are we not using renewable energy instead of using these fossil fuels that can pollute our environment and which has polluted our environment. The verse of the Quran says, O you who believe, neither forbid the good things that Allah has allowed for you, nor exceed the limits, because Allah does not love those who exceed the limits. Imam Ali Ridha alayhi salam said, the person who seeks the blessings of Allah to maintain his family has more rewards than one who fights in the way of Allah. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, verily Allah, the Exalted and High, dislikes long sleeps and long idle times. As you can see from these narrations, and there are many, many more, we can see that seeking a job, seeking your livelihood and sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and working and providing for your family, and basically having business interactions, or being a CEO or a manager, entrepreneur, building corporations, building businesses, industries, and so on and so forth, is praiseworthy. But your greed and your anger has to be checked. Your profit has to be checked.
We were given so many prizes. We changed the desert into oases. We built buildings of different lengths and sizes. And we felt so very satisfied. We bought and bought and couldn't stop buying. We gave charity to the poor cause we couldn't stand the crying. We thought we paid our dues, but in fact, to ourselves we're just lying. Oh, I'm walking with my head lowered in shame for my place. I'm walking with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact our focus should be on ourselves. I'm walking with my head lowered in shame for my place. I'm walking with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact our focus should be on ourselves. Is it satisfied? Is Allah satisfied?